And welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Hello, and I'm glad you tuned into the broadcast again this time, and we're picking up our study, not in the Gospels, but taking a look at a subject, actually three different things, characteristics, three different things certainly needed by every person in the world, and therefore also needed by the institutions of the world, the institutions being that of the home and family, of government, number two, and then of the church, number three. And so family, government, and church need these characteristics. We've taken a look at humility, and we certainly need to humble ourselves before God. In humility, we saw that it's certainly connected to subjection and submission. Words one and the same. And we need to be subject unto the Lord and to His Word in every respect, at every level of society. We need to submit unto our Lord. And then in the passage that we closed out those messages with, we see here how it's connected to something else. And so we want to take a look at the next aspect, five messages or broadcasts on humility, three on subjection. Next, let's be reminded of what the passage says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And so that's a question posed by the author of Hebrews. And so shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live. He has talked about in this chapter of Hebrews 12 about chastisement and correction of a heavenly Father, a God Almighty that will only for a while put up with sin, and He will bring every sin into judgment. That tells us and shows us and speaks to us about our need of a Savior, because we cannot deal with our sins on our own. We need the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to receive the Lord His way and in His truth, not our own device, not our own thinking, not our own conceitedness or self-wisdom, but we need to be subject to Him. Well, the command of the Lord is that you and I are to repent before Him. And so we're going to see what the scriptures say. In Proverbs chapter 20, Proverbs 20, verse number 9, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Who can do so? Well, the implication is that we cannot. No one can say and nor perform that they've made their heart clean. No one can declare of a truth that I am pure from my sin, because we cannot. We cannot cleanse ourselves. We cannot purify ourselves. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need His shed blood. We need the Word of God, which is likened unto water that washes. We need Him and what He has done. And so, if we will humble ourselves, if we will be subject to the Lord, we hear His command that you and I are to repent before Him. Let's take a look here in the scriptures first that individuals are to repent. Individuals, you are to repent before the Lord. To the unsaved, the Lord Jesus Himself in the beginning of His ministry in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now after that, John the Baptist was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." First recorded words of our Lord Jesus Christ after he had begun his ministry upon this earth. And to the unsaved, he declares, "Repent and believe the gospel." And so we see here that individuals, unsaved, are to repent before God and believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Also, individuals are to repent even if they're saved, because having been saved by the Lord, having been brought by the truth of God's Word and the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God to repentance unto salvation of the soul, we are to repent of our sins as we go on. We take a look in 1 John chapter 1 and then going on over a few verses, a couple of verses into chapter 2. 1 John 1, verse number 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, with God, and we walk in darkness," we're about sin and that we're pursuing after sin, "we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, and the light is our Lord," it's not us, it's not anything of this world, it's the light of him and his word, "we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And let that be a warning to those that believe in sinless perfection. There are a cut of people in the world that believe that once they are saved, quote-unquote, by the Lord, they've sinned no more. It's a lie. It's not true. The reason that we know, the Scripture tells us, this old man, this old flesh is not saved. It is at enmity with God yet, and it's got to be mortified. What the Scripture says is it doesn't need to be perfected. In the Spirit, we mature and are perfected, but what happens is that maturing in the Spirit and that yielding ourselves to the will, word, and way of God causes us to kill, to mortify this flesh, as the mortician deals with the body that is being prepared for burial. And so we have to put this old body to death. Why? It wants to raise up and sin against God. Our old carnal mind is not saved. The Scripture tells us we need our mind renewed, and we need to displace wickedness within us with the Word of God. But it is a constant and continual battle for the child of God, having been saved and wrangling with this old flesh and the way of the flesh, in the way of the world within that wants to rise up of sin. So if we say that we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, fellowship with the brethren, and the blood of Jesus is Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, verse 8 of 1 John 1, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins as saved, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So a promise from the Lord to confess our sins unto him. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so for that sinless perfection crowd, if you say that you have not sinned, you make God a liar, because even as a child of God, I sin. I don't want to sin, but I do sin. For someone to say that they are have arrived and achieved sinless perfection, what they are saying is they have the mind of God to scrutinize all actions of men. You and I, if we're honest, we understand that even in our dreams, we can have sinful, wicked aspect of dreams that we have no control over. Why? Because this old flesh, it's not saved yet. It's not saved. It won't be saved till we have a body like our Lord Jesus. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, in chapter 2 and verse 1, these things write unto you that you sin not. So he says, stay away from sin and don't be found sinning. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So the Lord Jesus is the advocate for the saved. We have one that can stand in for us and plead our cause before God, if you will. Jesus Christ the righteous, he totally and completely fulfilled the law of God without one error, without one sin. And listen, and he is the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation, we don't use. We just don't use that word in our culture. But understand, he is the suffering body for our sins. See, the Lord Jesus became a man, or God the Son became a man, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's yet God and is 100% man through eternity. And he became a man, a body prepared for him by the Father that he might suffer and pay for his people's sins. Remember, he is the propitiation, the suffering body for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So we see here that the saved must confess our sins before God and repent. The scripture tells us, the Lord Jesus tells us in the New Testament scriptures, that if we do not forgive, we will not be forgiven. And so that means we have a need to be forgiven ongoing. And it's not about our soul being in jeopardy of hell, but it's a relationship of father-child. And we need to be found obedient to our Father, otherwise the chastisement of the Lord will come upon us. Jesus, our propitiation, the one that is righteous, he is there being our advocate. He intercedes. He says unto the Father, forgive them for my sake. I paid for their sins. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as we have seen. And he says, it says here, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Understand now that this reference here to the whole world, it's a statement that Jesus is the only Savior. Jesus is the only one that can change and save a sinner. He is the only one in the entire world, in the cosmos, that is effectual unto the salvation of a sinner, to the forgiving of sins. There is no God, no church, no religion, no priest, no so-called prophet that could ever forgive the sins of a sinner. But the Lord Jesus, he is the one. When we come to the list of saviors in the world, there's only one on the list, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is able to save you from your sins, too. So individuals are to repent before God. Being unsaved, you're commanded by the Lord to repent and believe the gospel. And we pray that you will. If you're under the hearing of my voice and you're not saved, you've not been rescued, you don't know the free pardon of sin by the payment of the price for sin by the Lord Jesus Christ for you, not for us, but for you. If you have not repented before God and believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul, we urge you, we beg you, we plead with you, call out unto God for mercy and repent of your sins and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We who are saved as the children of God, we know we have our faults, our failures, our transgression against our Lord. And may we confess them unto him. And may we claim and rest in this promise that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is Jesus who is our Savior. It is Jesus who is our advocate. It is Jesus who is our intercessor. And may we never forget that he has saved us. And he waits to forgive us, and may we steer away from sin, and may we avoid sin, that we not bear the chastisement of our Lord. So, repentance. Repentance is needed by individuals. Have you, and do you, repent unto our Lord? I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79.
between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.